We are into the month of July here at the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy, which means, listeners, it is officially redraft season. That is right. My name is Herms, the guy who talks first on this podcast, joined as always by my good friend and co-host Tyler Orzynski. And today, in order to really kind of set the tone for it being redraft season for 2026, we should go over some things that managers should look to avoid kind of messing up, or some mistakes that are fairly common errors that occur on draft day every single year that you could avoid if you just look back and recognize some of the patterns that are at play. And that is all going to come from us from an article that I came out with on FTNFantasy.com, highlighting what we can learn from recent fantasy football draft busts. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about the details of the study once we get into it a little bit. It's going to be a very fun show. We're going to talk through some guys that, you know, just examples of things that have gone wrong in the past, and maybe try to highlight some 2026 examples that could end up being things that we complain about like a year from now. But before we get into doing all of that, of course, Tyler, how are you doing? And in your mind, what would you say is like the number one thing to try to avoid on draft day, whether you're an experienced fantasy manager or somebody who's playing in their league for the first time? Just the biggest thing. This is something people screw up a lot. Please do not do this in your draft.
It's a great question, Herms. First of all, I'm doing great. Thrilled to be here. It's officially a redraft season. The Scott Fishbowl has kicked off. For those who are not aware, it is a large charity redraft league that I've been running, not running, but in for, you know, probably 6-7 years at this point in time. So to me, that's like I have a redraft league that has a draft that's live. Doesn't get any more real than that for redraft season. Mistake? Man, there's a lot of mistakes that people make. You know, one of the first things that came to my mind was just overthinking the draft prep, thinking they need all these spreadsheets or all these different ranks and all these rankers. At the end of the day, like however you decide to do it, just get your by position ranks and cross them off as you go. I think your mistake is either over preparing or also under preparing. Like I'm always here for some fun, like you know, VBD, some vibes based drafting where you're not using any charts or rankings. Like I do it sometimes for like charity leagues. It's fun. Like don't get me wrong, but I think there's like appropriate way to prepare for a draft. And when you're drafting, trust that you've done the preparation. If preparation is indeed your thing, have your ranks per position. So quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, and just cross the players off as you go and then draft, you know, the highest or the, you know, one or two highest that you have left. To me, I think that's like the best way to go about it. And the mistake I see is like just under preparing, right? You know, it's fine to do a vibes based draft. But if you're actually trying to win for real, have some preparation. And then I guess the biggest mistake here is just over preparing. Too many spreadsheets, too many sets of ranks. Just simplify the process, do the work leading up to it, but simplify that process.
No, for sure. You know, and when it comes down to consulting rankings and trying to get those, you know, little cheat sheets kind of finalized that you will need on draft day, a great place to get those resources is actually FTN Fantasy. And over the next few days, we're running a sale. 15% off NFL Pro subscriptions with code NFL15, and you will get access to your award-winning rankings. Also, some of the stuff that we have from the mind of our great boss, Jeff Ratcliffe. Hey, an organic place to plug a sale that we are running. That is what Herms does, the company man for FTN Fantasy. But you provide a very good point. Sometimes it is just about maybe being too in your head about what's going on, when ultimately, like, some of the best things that you can do is just like pick up on the patterns, pick up on things that like crop up consistently year over year. That's a big part of what we're going to be doing today and highlighting some more of those examples. And the first one that I really want to start with, something that people do get into quite a lot every single year, is trusting players who have egregiously small sample sizes. But in particular, We're very guilty of this as a collective fantasy football community when it comes to running backs. Guys who maybe got an opportunity the season before, did well enough that you look at the depth chart that they belong to now, and it's like, wait a minute, okay, well, who else is really there? Who else is actually going to take touches in this backfield? And that almost always ends up being an issue for people. So we could look back in time at plenty of examples. There's Zamir White from the Raiders in 2024. That obviously didn't go very well, but it goes even beyond that. If we remember 2021 Mike Davis, I was referencing historical ADP and found that he was being drafted as the RB22 in 2021. And finished as the RB45 among qualified backs because what he had done as Christian McCaffrey's injury replacement the year prior on those 2020 Carolina Panthers was such a small sample size. Prior to that, he'd actually only had 11 career starts. So how were we supposed to just expect Mike Davis to all of a sudden become this magical workhorse in that Falcons backfield? It gave way for us to get Cordarrelle Patterson, which was kind of cool, but didn't really work out if you trusted Mike Davis. A couple of years later, Alexander Mattison, whenever he did step up to the plate, when Dalvin Cook would get hurt, it would work out pretty well, but it was only 6 career starts entering 2023, and it didn't go very well at all, to the point that they actually traded for Cam Akers, then of the Los Angeles Rams, who himself that year was being drafted as the RB22 in 2023 on the strength, basically, of a 3-game stretch he had during his rookie season 2 years earlier, way before he popped an Achilles tendon. So like, that's really the big thing that I want people to remember. When you're looking at running backs, especially, even if it appears, hey, this guy is like the only guy in this backfield, it doesn't really matter, we can just draft him, it'll be totally fine. Really be cautious of the sample size. Now, in this article, I do like to leave off with some, boiling it down to a lesson and then giving an example of like somebody who could embody this in 2026. The name that came to mind for me as this first archetype of just draft day mistakes was maybe Cam Scadabo being drafted as the RB19 last I was checking ADP, and he played like 8 games last year. We talked a little bit about it in last week's episode, but that's the first one. Tyler, any thoughts on that? Any other names that kind of pop into your head as an example of this, or just whatever you got for this one?
Yeah, I mean, Cam Scadabo is a good one. I'm definitely here for it. He's being steamed up a bit. Like, that's not even talking the injury that we're concerned about him coming back from right now. So that's a whole another piece of this, is we got an injury to be concerned with, let alone everything that you kind of laid out there. I don't think they all fit the criteria, but like, here's, a couple of guys that I think I have concerns that are similar. I think Chuba Hubbard could be one of those names where we're kind of like, oh, who else is there? He's going to be the RB1. We've seen him, we've seen it before. This isn't a sample size one, but it's more of like, hey, who else is there? I mean, Jonathan Brooks is getting a little bit of steam here, but he's certainly a name that I think people are falling into the trap of, oh, who else is there? It has to be him. Just another name that kind of popped into my head again, somewhat sample size, but it's Devonta Smith, who I really like, but he's going as the wide receiver like 11 right now. And I think people are really latching on to a small sample size of his splits without AJ Brown. Why aren't we interested in Goddard? Like, why aren't we interested in some of the more ancillary wide receivers? Like, why do we know that it's going to be a top 12 season out of Devonta Smith? And I think we're just kind of taking some history, a handful of games where there's been no AJ Brown, and applying that forward and falling into the same track of, hey, if there's no one else, he's going to soak up all the targets. The price just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So similar vein of to what you mentioned there, those are kind of two of the names where I've not been clicking a lot this offseason. And just a little bit, I would say kind of that's the why and how it kind of leans into your first point there.
No, for sure. And it honestly just highlights the danger of the extrapolation game. That is the big thing that I think a lot of people fall into, and something that you just have to be really careful with. Sample sizes are very tricky. You have to be careful when you apply them. Otherwise, you will fall into making certain mistakes like that one. But our next one is not involving running backs, but it does involve running with quarterbacks, specifically quarterbacks who can run super well, but that is basically it. I think one of the issues that we get into with fantasy football is the Konami code and exactly how much importance we assign to that trait. So for people who don't know, the Konami code, it was a term coined by Rich Rebar, well-known fantasy football analyst. Basically, just like it's a cheat code to be able to run. You will get typically 1 point for every 10 rushing yards in most fantasy scoring, whereas 25 passing yards normally gets you the equivalent point value. So guys who can run really well, it's going to go typically very well for them in the fantasy box scores. But having a good arm is also a big part of playing quarterback. You need to be able to throw the ball well. And if the only thing you're good at is bringing the Konami code to the table, you're probably going to have a bad time. I went back and I looked at this. Since 2015, there have been 36 quarterbacks to start at least 10 games in a season and finish with a completion rate of 60% or lower. Only five of those names, that is 13.9% of our sample, achieved a minimum of 18 fantasy points per game, which is loosely the amount of points that you need to average to finish as a QB1 in a given season. Most of the time, it's not a perfect answer, but generally speaking, if you're hitting that threshold, you're probably going to be a QB1. Those quarterbacks were MVP-winning Cam Newton in 2015. Blake Bortles that same year, bortling his way to victory. Shout out Matthew Berry. Cam Newton again in 2017. Caleb Williams just last year. And Josh Allen in his second year as a starter in the NFL. That is it. If you are not a good passer of the quarterback, but all you can do is really run around, it's probably not going to go well for you. I hope that we have learned this lesson through Anthony Richardson heading into 2024 off of just doing a handful of things the year prior. That didn't work out very well. And also, like, look, I probably said it on this podcast last summer. I bought really big into the Justin Fields thing, and then he sucks and gets benched by the Jets before the end of the year. So, like, thankfully, I don't think there are many big examples of this right now. The only one that I would be kind of worried about would be Tyler Shuck of the New Orleans Saints, because people have kind of brought up his rushing as a bit of a boon for his case and why he could be a good sleeper pick, but he's not being picked very high. So there's that going for us at the very least, but that's a big one for me. Are there examples of these types of quarterbacks that maybe aren't coming to mind for me, Tyler, that you have to share with us?
I wouldn't say so, because I think a lot of these guys are appropriately priced. I think Malik Willis is another guy. And I think when he was a rookie and he was coming in, that was certainly like a concern that was raised, and it was why he was benched. But like, his price is okay right now. There's not any quarterbacks that I'm necessarily like upset about grabbing, because the thing is I don't even regret grabbing Justin Fields as a later kind of mid-round quarterback last year, because the plan was like always like, if he's playing, he's probably going to be good for fantasy. He had 7 games last season where he played. This is Fields. 7 games last season where he played 100% of the snaps. He was a top 7 quarterback in 4 of those games. So like, even though he was god awful in football, he was still producing in fantasy. So my perspective here is I don't regret taking guys later. Like, I'm not drafting Anthony Richardson certainly in like dynasty or rookie, like that is obvious here. But if we're talking like redraft and these guys are going late, like, I'll swing, and if it doesn't work out, I'll drop them and I'll stream the position, man. So I think it's set up well. Like, the point stands. Like, if you're like drafting a guy like Justin Fields last year, or maybe like Malik Willis this year, and you're depending on them to be your guy, I can totally understand how this is true. But I think the price is pretty appropriate. And usually where these kind of rushing quarterbacks go of questionable arms, if you end up having to cut bait, it's not going to sink your team. So I think it's true from like a real like football perspective. Like, let's not count on these guys. But from fantasy, I just think that the risk is too low and the reward's too high that I'll probably still keep drafting these rushing quarterbacks that can't throw. And if it ends up not working out, I'll cut bait and just look elsewhere.
1,000%. And I think that, you know, maybe that component of it is the big takeaway, perhaps. Like, just be prepared to pivot if it doesn't work out. That is something that is going to have to at least float somewhere in the back of your brain when you're taking on guys like this. Because like you said, like, the ceiling is high, but there is plenty of risk. So risk management, kind of a big part of not just this, but all of fantasy football to some extent. Glad we could dig into that, and glad we can now move on into our next one that we will hit very quickly before we get into our commercial break. Believing that NFL draft capital matters more than team circumstances. I see this one happen a lot, because when we get into the first part of the offseason, our brains immediately go into prospect mode. We get super excited about the guys who are going to come into the NFL and be these like franchise savior figures who are going to transform these offenses and all that stuff. And we get excited about them, and we draft some of them very high in fantasy, even though we've never seen them on a professional football field before. But depending on what team we're talking about, it might not be that smart to value these guys that heavily right away. The examples that I pulled for this from the article include Marvin Harrison, rookie ADP wide receiver 9 in 2024.
Crazy, man. He was at the 1-2 turn as a rookie, man. Looking back on that, what were we thinking? I mean, I was not necessarily I was doing it, but generally as a community, what were we thinking?
Yeah, like Kyler Murray still coming off of, you know, recovering from that ACL tear. Like, yeah, it was like a couple years removed from that point. It was technically 2 seasons before, but it was like the very end of that season. So like the rehab time, everything, that wasn't going very well. The whole thing with Cliff Kingsbury and that offense, it clearly wasn't working well. So yeah, like how was Marvin Harrison supposed to magically fix that problem? And then the other example I had, we're cheating a little bit, to be fair. 2022 was not Travis Etienne's rookie season because he had a foot injury that knocked him out in the preseason the year earlier. So if we just fudge it a little bit and only focus on his first real season of actually being on a field, the Jacksonville Jaguars were still a year removed from Urban Meyer, which if you need to read more about, like I have a link to a story about everything that went wrong with Urban Meyer in the article. So trust me, if you want to do some extracurriculars, it's a compelling, horrifying ride. But they were still in a really awful spot, and their adjusted line yards from the 2022 season, Jacksonville specifically, ranked 4th worst in the league. So Travis Etienne, even though, yeah, he was a first round running back, of course he's going to be pretty good. Being drafted at the ADP RB19, finished as the RB35. So, yeah, like, these picks are supposed to be the thing that fix these offenses, in theory, of course. Bringing in really talented players is supposed to make offenses good, but it can't happen right away. You have to be mindful of how good the team is right now, not how good we think they're going to be. That is for dynasty, and that is why we need to not attach that part of our brain to redraft. And honestly, the name that I kind of highlighted for this, even though it completely undermines the case that I built for him in a fantasy face-off of mine earlier this summer, was Jeremiah Love with those same Arizona Cardinals. Because I look at that depth chart, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, because they picked him that high in the draft, they're paying him literally the most money that any NFL team has ever paid a running back ever, guaranteed anyway. But James Conner's still there. Tyler Allgeier they brought in. I don't know how they're going to distribute that workload. And how good are the Cardinals really going to be this year?
Not good. Not good, man. I mean, it's fair. It's fair. I'm okay. The thing is, like, I'm okay with where it goes because there's this like bet. I'm like, I don't know if you want to call it generational talent, but I think he's certainly in that category of, you know, the Saquons, the CMCs, the Genties that we've seen. I certainly think he's on that level. So I think there is something okay with me taking him where he goes, but he's not going like Marvin Harrison at the 1-2 turn. Like you can get him later in drafts and the price makes sense. You know, one of the names that kind of popped up to me though is Jadarian Price as another name where I think his price is okay. You know, it's kind of like, you know, that fringy RB2. But, like, I also, if Charbonnet is coming along, do they want to use Helani? Like, I don't know if Manny Wilson's going to play, but I think he's starting to get to a point where I'm like, people see that he was just drafted where he was in the first round and he got the capital and they think he's going to come through. So That would be my other concern with both these running backs. Like, there could be a world where you're depending on running backs in this class and it's not the guys you think. And then on the flip side of that, so if we're going to say like, hey, you know, believing NFL capital matters more than circumstances, let's flip that around. Like, what if there's day three running backs that matter? Like Cam Scadabo, honestly, is a good example of that. He was a day three running back, and while he got hurt, had some serious play. A couple names that pop out to me: Catron Allen has an opportunity to like shine in the Commanders, in my opinion, with only JCM and Rashad White ahead of him. And Jonah Coleman is another name. He's more of a well-rounded running back than what you're going to be getting. You know, J.K. Dobbins is good, but we know the health and the age are somewhat of a risk there. You know, R.J. Harvey's more of a committee back. Like, does Jonah Coleman find a role? So I think there's the other side of the coin too, Herms, where we can't just discount or discredit these day three players just because of their draft capital, because circumstances matter, right? And it goes both ways.
1,000%. Yeah, because it would be cooler if certain names had first round capital or got picked in the first, you know, at least two or three rounds or something like that. But if you're going to a good team and there's any path for you to find the field at all, that situation's better than a lot of these other things. So very glad that you were able to kind of dial it into that and spin it into something that I had not previously considered, but makes a lot of sense. See, look at all we are harnessing out of this episode here, but we have to take a quick pause, get in word from our sponsors. But then when we come back, we will get into more draft day mistakes to avoid in the 2026 fantasy football season here on the Crossing Routes podcast. Please don't go anywhere. Hey, everyone. C.H. Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast. Watching sports is a very fun thing to do all by itself, but sometimes it can be even better when you have a little bit more on the line than just your regular rooting interest, if you know what I mean. But if you don't live in a state that has a sports book, how are you supposed to get in on all the action? Well, thanks to our friends at NoVig, America's number one sports prediction market, people in over 35 states now have unprecedented access to all of the hottest plays around the world of sports. And better yet, if you sign up and make a minimum $5 purchase with code FTN at checkout, not only will you get to join in on all the NoVig fun, but we will email you a promo code for a free month of a GOAT subscription for free. That's right, unlock our top flight subscription that gets you all of our premium content, betting models, and expert picks across the world of sports. If you've ever wondered what an FTN GOAT subscription would be like, this is a great way to find out. So all you got to do is go to NoVig.us or download the NoVig app. Give them all the information they're looking for, make a minimum $5 purchase, but make sure to include that code FTN at checkout to get in on the NoVig fun and unlock a free month of our GOAT tier subscription for free for an entire month. Seems like a pretty good time if you ask me. So go ahead and sign up for NoVig, America's number one sports prediction market. We are back on the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy, to talk about these draft day mistakes we want to avoid in 2026. Sourced from an article of mine that you can find on FTNFantasy.com. I will have the link for it in the description, as I usually do. I don't know if I said that earlier, but hey, it's just a thing that I like to do to make it easier for everybody. You don't have to really go anywhere. It's one click away, and then you can see everything that we're talking about. But we have to get into the next trope on our list that I think really just screws people up a lot on draft day. Free agent contracts, just zooming out, they don't always mean everything. Like, just because somebody gets paid a ton of money does not automatically mean that they are going to be in an effective role in an NFL offense or anything like that. But this is particularly notable when we're talking about wide receivers, because if you look at it, I've published articles about what we can glean from free agent contracts in the past. I have a link to that article inside of the article that I have for the discussion today. But the market value for receiver contracts is just pretty high at a baseline level. You are going to see gaudy numbers from free agent contracts that get signed by receivers. But since 2021, only 13 of these guys who reached free agency and signed a contract reached the top 36 in overall PPR scoring the following year. if you're actually a really, really good receiver, your odds of hitting the free agent market are pretty low. Most teams are going to retain those guys, give them extensions, and never let them leave, because that's just what you do with superstar players. So we look at other examples. Like, yes, it is possible to still be super good, reach the market, and get a lot of money. Yes, there are examples of that. But more examples than not are when this goes bad. We think back to 2022 with Allen Robinson going to the Los Angeles Rams. I'm not going to rehash the entire thing, because if you've been playing long enough, you know exactly how it went with A-Rob. But just because he got that huge $46.5 million deal over 3 years does not mean that the guy who struggled on the Chicago Bears the year before wasn't still a guy that we weren't sure about. 2021 probably has the biggest example of this, and I'm probably not even going to say anything more about than, do you remember Kenny Golladay going to the New York Giants? These are the things that we have to remember not to fall for. And I think the market's getting better about it, but it's still worth thinking about. There are still going to be examples of this. So even if it's not at receiver, are there any players that signed like huge mega contracts that you look at and you're just like, I don't know if that money actually means anything for fantasy?
I mean, Alec Pierce is going to be the best shining example there, but like, the other ones that got the big contracts, you know, Wandell Robinson, even I'd say Romeo Doubs, none of those guys are getting drafted in spots where I think it's you know, too insane or too intense for me to want a little piece of that. You know, I don't think there's like another like example that kind of comes through. Like this last cycle seemed to be pretty, you know, on par. Like, you know, a lot of guys got the money they should have gotten. You know, in terms of teams switching teams, like the only one that I think it's slightly maybe disappoint, but I'm digging here to find one, is the Kenneth Walker deal in Kansas City. I think the price is just too high right now. We've talked about this at length on a lot of our shows, man. But I mean, those wide receivers I just named, but that's the running back that comes to mind where people are taking him in one, you know, the 1-2 turn right now is like a bona fide top eight running back. And I think we've said our piece there on why I think that might be a little bit too much of a, you know, we're following the contract, looking at the situation, but like, what about a guy who's really never been the lead back? So I don't have a really good one here, I should say, but I think you're right though. Really good players don't end up going and hitting free agency, and that's the way it works.
Yeah, you know, cash rules everything around us if we listen only to the Wu-Tang Clan, but sadly, it is not how fantasy football works all the time. But speaking of wide receivers, the big one. Man, we're going to have to talk about my belief in J.J. McCarthy again. It's one of the worst calls I ever made. I'm not proud of how that went, but when star receivers are in offensive situations with questionable quarterbacks, we have to remember that good receivers do not make questionable quarterbacks good. Really good quarterbacks can do that to questionable receivers, but the inverse is not necessarily true. We look at what happened to Justin Jefferson last year, qualifying at the wide receiver 19 with only 13.6 PPR points per game and a career low 1,048 yards. His catchable air yards rate, 48.6%, was the fourth lowest of any receiver to get at least 100 targets last year. We can't really do anything about that. You need to just realize, hey, maybe this isn't going to work out super well, even if this guy is a legend. And the other example that I have of this is basically just every year people draft Garrett Wilson. Thank God the market is getting better at this, though. He was only drafted as the ADP wide receiver 19 off the board last year. And he was wide receiver 21 in points per game before he got hurt with that knee injury. So, like, we're getting close. But the year prior, Garrett Wilson was going as the wide receiver 9 off the board. In 2024, the dude was going off the... Oh, wait, no, I have it flipped. Wide receiver 7 in 2024, wide receiver 9 in 2023. So, like,
I knew it was up there. I knew it was up there, yeah.
Yeah, like, we have to remember, folks, the quarterback is such a huge part of this equation. And the example that I came up with for this one that actually ties into the one of the most recent fantasy face-off I came out with about Kyle Pitts was just looking at how bad Michael Penix and Tua Tagovailoa have been in terms of just the quality of their passes, how many of their air yards are catchable. I don't know how Drake London's supposed to return on his ADP with those guys. Even with Kevin Stefanski coming in, I do think that that offense is going to be very cool. I'm very excited for what it means for Bijan Robinson and the ground game, especially. But is Drake London being drafted too high? Are we not worried enough about Michael Penix and Tua Tagovailoa? Like, is this going to be a bigger problem? And is this going to be the biggest example of this when we look back next year?
It's plausible. I haven't been taking a lot of London, but I also haven't been necessarily shying away. Like, I definitely would rather be seeing Penix out there than Tua. I think Tua is completely just washed at this point in time. And I think Penix has his bruises here, and he's not a perfect prospect, but I would love to at least see him get a shot here. And if you could tell me that Penix is the quarterback over Tua, I'd probably be a little bit more interested in this situation. Now, I don't really have a really good example of kind of what you're talking about, because I do think a lot of these players that have a bad quarterback are not being drafted too high. I was doing like a quick scan as you were kind of talking there. There was nobody that was really sticking out to me, but I'm not out on London, but I think if they do stick with Tua for too long of a time, let's just say Penix is maybe taking longer to recover. They go with Tua. Like, I think if Tua is the guy there for the majority of the season, we could easily be looking back at Drake London and thinking what the hell we're doing, because it's clear that he can't get the ball to his best playmakers at this point in time in his career.
Oh, it might get gross, you know, and I hope it works out for them. I really hope that it works out down in Atlanta. It'd be more fun if they're good, especially for the sake of Bijan Robinson, like I was saying earlier. But, you know, that them's the breaks. These are the things that you have to be very keenly aware of when you are going into drafts, not just in 2026, listeners, but every single year. Picking up on these patterns, picking up on these things that recur, it's how you win the game, you know, because what's that old saying? The fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, you can't get fooled again.
That's right.
This is how we're gonna try and make sure that if as long as you listen to these things, you're probably gonna be in good shape. But before we get out of here, just any sort of other mistakes that, you know, weren't listed in the article, or just any other examples of things that people screw up that you want to shout out here, Tyler, the floor is yours, and then we will do our thing.
No, man, I'm ready to get rolling here. I don't have anything prepared in that regard, but excited to keep the ball rolling. The season is here. Let's keep it going, man. Looking forward to next week.
10,000%. And next week is going to be another stellar episode of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy, just as every episode is. So just stay locked in. Make sure that you go over to ftnfantasy.com, check out all of the great content that we have coming out on a regular basis. And again, I want to remind people, we are having that 15% off NFL Pro subscriptions. All you have to do is enter the promo code NFL15. It's a great time to lock it in. If you want to get all of your resources to prepare for the upcoming season, FTN Fantasy is a great place to do that. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I am Herms. He is Tyler O. And we are saying goodbye.
Audio. Think about it before we go, just to say goodbye. And staying up and sleeping late.